The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports. In the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Compare one of our longtime listeners on the YouTube chat, which you can be a part of. Just go to YouTube, search Sacktown Sports, and chat. Join the chat mob. Says, how can a guy on today's tour still be on the tour without a win in 9 years? Well, very easily. There's a number of people that are on the PGA Tour that either don't have wins ever or very rarely do. Now, a win gets you a number of exemptions. It extends your tour card, I think, 2 years. Unless it's a major, then I think it's 3 years. Because you finish with enough money to be in the top whatever and qualifies you to extend your PGA Tour card. And by the way, I don't know if he, I don't think he had to go down to Korn Ferry or anything like that and work his way back up. But there's, you know, for all the winners we see.
Yeah.
There's the guys, you know, our very own Cam Champ, whose dad owns Foothill Golf Course, a course I grew up goofing around at, a little par three there. There's a lot of guys. Like Cam was in contention on Sunday. He was just a couple shots back. I think he finished, I think, top 15. It's a nice payday for him, but he's been grinding. He has a couple of wins on tour.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while, though.
Yeah, it has been a while, and he grinds. And there's, I don't know the percentage, but it's probably a pretty decent percentage of tournaments he'll travel to. He's got to fly there. He's got to rent a place or get a hotel room, his caddy, all the expenses, blah, blah, blah. You play it for 2 days and you get cut and you make no money and you go back home and you start all over again the following week. I'm not like saying, oh, poor golfers, but there's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
And, you know, we were talking at the start of the show about how people in media all have a screw loose because of the pressure. Well, multiply that times probably 100 with a golfer. You don't have a teammate to pass to.
Right.
You don't have, Domantas Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox coming in to carry the fourth quarter on a Sunday.
Just you. It's a lonely island.
And imagine being a kid or a very young man or woman, in this case, in one of these NCAA tournaments, trying to do all that, knowing what's on the line, knowing that in many cases, if you win, it's legendary. It's your name is going to be put in song. Mm. And if you do something terrible, your life as you know it is over, and you will receive all kinds of fun messages on social media and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of pressure on these. I'll call them kids. I think everybody's a kid till they're 30.
Right.
I think I was a kid till I was 30.
Still am a kid.
When you look at, just for example, the overarching theme, I think, of this tournament, or one of them, Jason. Favorites in round two of the NCAA tournament straight up went 15-1.
Wow.
15-1, 11-5. 11-5 against the spread. The only team that didn't work out for were the Baylor Bears. And if I'm correct, yeah, didn't father and son Drew both lose like within an hour of each other? I think
they're not father son.
Oh, they're not.
No.
What are they? I thought they were.
They may be related, but that's not father son.
Oh, I thought that. Okay, my
Bryce
bad.
Bryce and Scott Drew.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
might be brothers, if anything.
Oh, are they? Okay, because they were mentioning something about like busy week for who's the Baylor one? Is that not Bryce? That's
Scott
the other
Drew.
One. Yeah,
yeah.
Like he flew to go see Grand Canyon play and blah. Okay, well, whatever family connection there is. I think they both lost within an hour of each other in the tournament. And Scott Drew has just done, like, they were going over some numbers with Baylor, who, by the way, that's the year I won. How could I forget Davion Mitchell leading the way for the Baylor Bears, and that's the year I won the tournament.
Brothers.
They are brothers. Yeah. Oh, okay, my bad. He has completely built that program into a powerhouse. I think they had 4 NCAA appearances lifetime before he got there. And now they have a national title. I think 4 straight years they had made the Sweet 16, something like that. But that's kind of the one of the themes of the tournament has been, okay, well, so far with a couple, you know, the Auburns, the sure. Kentuckys.
Right.
But even Auburn and Kentucky were second-tier favorites, I think.
Yeah, maybe. 3 seed and 4 seed, yeah.
Yeah, third tier, arguably. You know, we haven't had, we almost had, and by the way, it just seems like this happens every other year. We almost had the vaunted final game of the second round. Everything's great. Blah, blah, blah. Up, this team's up. Oh, my God, they lost. My bracket's busted in Houston last night.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's been wildly entertaining. I enjoy the tournament.
Agreed.
I really do.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Every year I have this existential thought in my head when I'm watching yesterday. Was up the hill with some friends. I got the games on, watching. You know, they staggered them pretty well, but there were a couple. You know, you wake up at 9 a.m., there's a game going all the way through. And then Saturday, same thing. You add in the Kings game there. And you just sit back and you're like, oh, God, I love sports. And also, why am I not doing this in the regular season? Like, why am I not turning it on to watch Duke and North Carolina battle it out at noon on a Saturday? And the reason is because I don't care. But then the tournament comes, and oh, my God, this is a top three sport for me.
Yeah, I think, well, I used to, and I think you probably did more. And I think part of that is we did know the players more.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for example, like I had heard about, this is going to go way, way back. Obviously, his pro career is already done. He's coaching now, but Jason Kidd, I'd heard about him here.
Absolutely.
It's like, wow, he played at Arco. This guy's going to be good. Goes to Cal.
Yep.
Now, he didn't stay for 4 years, but he played for a couple of years, so I wanted to see him play.
Yes.
And then, of course, we can go back to the UNLV days, the Fab Five. Man, Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill, they're all back. Like, you knew all the players.
Yes.
And they were coming back. And so that part has stopped for the most part, unless you're the mid-majors. I think some of that has returned, but even that, now guys are transferring. So I don't know. For me, I may not ever be a regular season guy again.
I think I am
for college football.
Yes.
And which is weird. It's almost flipped for me. Like, college football's regular season is bigger than the bowl season for me, with the exception of the biggest bowl games.
Yes. I agree with you.
Whereas college basketball's regular season is, the tournament is the end-all, be-all.
Let me ask you a college football question, though, and I'm not trying to be a D-bag here. Just honest question, because you said that. I agree with everything you said. I think you nailed it on the NCAA, and you made me start thinking, oh, my God, NCAA basketball regular season and Major League Baseball, which we were just talking about, that's almost exactly the same thing for me. Like,
okay.
You're exactly right.
I can see that.
Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and Duke. Those UNLV teams. The Fab Five. Ramil Robinson in Michigan. Seton Hall and Terry DeHaer. Like, I was into it every weekend.
Yeah.
And then I think you're right. As the years go on, part of it's just the love of your youth, imagining maybe I could play college basketball someday when I get out of high school. On top of the fact that you see these guys for 2, 3, 4 years as a norm, and now it's like, oh, hey, this guy's pretty cool. Oh, he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
And then going into football, the question I wanted to ask you is this. Do you think, does it have anything to do with the fact that UCLA has not been a national title contender in a while?
Football or basketball?
For football. For football. And as to why maybe the postseason. Because for me, when FSU's involved in the bowls, I'm all about.
No, I guess maybe I didn't. Are you about, though, the Blue Bonnet Bowl if Florida State's in that? You're in it if they're in the Final Four.
Yes. Well, if they're in the playoffs, yes.
Right. No, I'm into that part. But, like, the bowl season, I'm guessing.
I got you.
I'm lumping in the Mayo Bowl.
I'm with you.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes.
Like, that's funny names. Other than that, it's like.
I'm with you.
If it was a regular season Northwestern and Arizona State, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch that game.
Sure.
But it's now a bowl game. I'm like,
Which why? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That is kind of weird.
It is weird.
There was a bowl game this season where just the sponsor was the head story.
Yeah.
There's been a couple over the last year. Yeah, the Pop-Tart getting eaten at the
very
end.
I remember the beginning. I remember the end. I don't remember the teams that played in it or who won.
Finally, we got a break here. Could the in-season tournament in the NBA adopt an NCAA model? In this sense only, there's 30 teams in the NBA. Your top seed in the West and the East get a bye. And then somehow it's a one-off. It's just brackets, and it's a one-off. And then you have the Final Four, and the finals happen in Vegas, kind of like they did. But just you go from like screw group play. You just and the NBA puts out in-season tournament brackets. And you make it like a real prize, whatever, same thing. But I found myself wondering, would this make the in-season tournament even more fun if it was a one-off?
Yeah, I think this is what they tried to mimic, kind of. But the only flaw or the only wrinkle is, so let's pretend the Kings go all the way through that and gets four games in there. The makeup on the schedule is just to balance rough, that out. Yeah. Or if you just say this is something completely different and we're just ignoring these games as regular season games. I don't know.
I don't know either. You're right. And also home field advantage versus a neutral site for NCAA. I was thinking about that, too. We'll take a break when we come back. Speaking of the NBA and their ideas, Adam Silver spoke on the All-Star game and lack thereof of competition, had some interesting things to say. We'll talk about the Kings road trip, the Kings return tonight, and we'll talk right now, really, honestly, about energy and American energy specifically and just what that has to do with your day-to-day life. Carmichael Babe here for AmericanEnergy.com. It's your second opinion partners. Hit that beat. Look at that. Just hit the post. Not nailed the post. That's something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
American Energy, they are your second opinion partners. What does that mean? That means if you are looking to get some work done on your HVAC system, call American Energy. Call American Energy and let them help you by giving you a second opinion. Now, having them come out to your house, take a look at whatever you want done, writing up an estimate, and giving you that second opinion right now will just cost you $99. Just $99. But wait, there's more. I'm lying to you. Yeah, it's free. They will not charge you a dime to do that. It is like not even a penny. They will come out and do all that for free. For example, they want you to make the switch to electric this spring and save big. Stay ahead of the spiking energy bills this summer with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. And American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD. This is key, guys, because there's a lot of rebates out there, but it is a hassle to get them all together. American Energy does all the paperwork for you. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis excuse me, and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. They're the best. Call 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. When we get back, 3 for Madness, brought to you by Fire Wings. Christopher Lott has the mic next.
Three questions, three answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Evan Wasserman on the chat says, I don't know if he was directing this to me or what, but golf over baseball? I got to be honest. I am 30 billion times more into golf than I am baseball right now. I really, truly am, honestly. I will have golf on 10 to 1.
I wonder, I was thinking about this, you feel a certain way about the Giants right now, but let's take you just a few years ago when you liked them more.
Yeah.
And if they had the Dodgers roster. So Shohei, you guys landed Shohei, mm-hmm. and you had something like Mookie and Freeman and the prohibited favorites.
Yes.
It's impossible to know, but yeah. What do you think you'd be like?
It's a real good question, and I've fielded it before where it's like, well, yeah, they suck. Of course you don't like them, or they're going to be 500.
I don't think they're going to be that bad this
I don't year. I think they're going to be around 500, maybe slightly over. This actually started for me after they won their first title. Mm. And they won that first title, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the pinnacle of whatever. But there was also I could tell there was this weird part of me that was like, I love this team. I love the guys on it. Wish Will Clark and those guys could could have gotten one. Wish Barry Bonds could have gotten one, you know, that crew. But I'll take these guys.
Yeah.
And then the second one, and that's natural, you know, after a long drought, your second title. Same thing with the Kings. I can tell you right now, Kings won 2 titles in the next 5 years. The first one's the best. Yeah. Of course it is. But then as the years just kind of rolled by, I was like, this A's thing just really, really bothers me. I feel like the Giants are one of the bad guys in this whole thing that stand for everything I'm against.
Okay.
It has so very little to do with on the field, though I do think Farhan Zaidi sucks. He definitely redeemed a little bit of himself towards the end, but that's spending money. Like, great job, dude. How are the minor leagues? Are you building the system? Like, they have a couple of prospects. Don't get me wrong. I don't have any passion. And the thing is, people get really mad at that. And I always want to say, like, I'm not telling you, you can't root for them.
Right.
It's like I left the club and took the big screen TV. Like, you'll be fine without me rooting for the Giants actively and going crazy. And I'll still wear a Giants hat. And I mean, because I have a bunch of Giants crap and I need clothes. But, you know, it's okay. Relax. Fire Wings brings you three for madness. Chris Rula, question one, please.
Adam Silver says he'll consider a USA versus the world format for the All-Star game. Will this help?
So Adam did an interview about this. And he seems resigned to the fact that the players are openly saying, like, dude, by the time we get to the end of All-Star weekend, we're tired. We have all these media things we have to do. We're in the middle of the season. We're actually in the second two-thirds. We don't care about this game. We just want to not get hurt. LeBron said it. Anthony Edwards said it. And so when even asked about the international thing, Adam was like, I don't know. We could try it. We're looking at it. I don't know if it'll help. I won't guarantee that it will help, but I will tell you something, man. Do not underestimate the flags. Just never do it, man. There's a reason why when the Olympics come up this summer, we're going to really start caring about a lot of sports we do not ever care about until the Olympics. There is something, you know, say what you want about the political climate and blah, 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 and everyone arguing in politics. When it's us versus Russia or, hell, Canada, Venezuela.
Russia isn't in the Olympics anymore.
Of course they're not. Excuse me. Australia, whatever. Even a nation we like England or something. It's like, suck it, England. Here we go. Cornwallis, baby. And you have this national pride. I could see a situation in a perfect world, Jason, where it is USA versus international.
And what does that mean, by the way? Is that like Giannis and Joker?
I think so.
SGA?
Yes.
So the All-Star game.
Yes, but it's all international players versus American players. And I think, we know this, these guys read social media, they watch the shows.
Yeah.
And the American guys are going to get tired of hearing about how the internationals have passed them up. And the internationals are going to get, they're already going to want to beat because they're all super patriotic about this stuff anyways. Big deal to beat America, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody like Kevin Durant's going to say something on social media like, yeah, it's all fun and games when they're all spread out. But when you put us all together, like, those guys don't stand a chance. And then Joker's going to say something like, I like horses. And everyone's going to freak out. And next, I'm just saying, I don't think it will necessarily work. But I would not underestimate the power of the USA, USA, USA chant going on in whatever arena the games are at. And now all of a sudden, these guys do not want to be the ones that lose. Because let me ask you this, the whole thing like, we don't want to get hurt and then why are you going to the Olympics?
Right.
Why are you going to the Olympics, professional athletes that don't want to get hurt? Why aren't you in Cancun? You're not getting, I mean, sure, it's good for your brand. There's probably little money involved.
People didn't say that during the in-season tournament.
No,
sure.
No, they didn't.
They really competed.
They did. So I don't believe the whole no matter what, the All-Star game doesn't matter. I do think there's a tweakable issue that they can work whatever lever they pull to make it better. And again, if you can somehow make this a thing that matters, whether it's draft picks, whether it's a ton of money, whether it's home court advantage in the first round or in the finals, or USA sucks. No, Serbia sucks. No, you suck. Okay, now it's on. There's a chance there.
Yeah.
Just pull on some of that Olympic love.
Sure.
Question two, please.
Question two.
The Kings returned today from a 2-1 road trip. Was it successful?
I went and took a test at school last week on Friday. It was a tough course. I got a C. I passed. And really, ultimately, passing is all that matters. And get my diploma. Am I waving around that test score and going, guys, I got a C? No, it's not a B or an A.
Dude, you messed up your name. That's why you got a C.
That's exactly right. Can't spell it. 3-0 would have been, that would have been an A. I don't know that there's a B on the, well, B on this. No, you know what? I do. I think, and weirdly enough, an A would have been 3-0. A B would have been you win the first two and you lose a close one to Orlando. And you're really? Like, well, they were 25-9. I mean, gosh, I understand that. And then I think a C is the way it worked out. It was anytime you go on the road, you win 2 out of 3, including a 3-4 seed in the East. Successful road trip. But, you know, I'm kind of kissing my sister here, too.
Could you say the Washington loss is an F, the Orlando win's an A, so now you're at C, and what was the other win to start it? Who was the first team they played?
What the hell? Who was the first? Are we all blanking?
Toronto.
Thank you.
Yeah, Toronto.
We all three.
Because it's outside the United States. Well, that's
yeah,
why
yeah we don't
the
care.
Conversion rate, yeah.
We don't care.
So B minus? C plus?
I'm fine. You know, B minus, C plus, I'm fine with that. C sounded more for the better for the point I was making, but you're
yeah. You know, I wanted 2-1, so they got there.
I did too.
In just a weird way.
And I believe there was a 3 for madness question last week, or at least we talked about it at some point. I was like, well, 2-1 would be a successful road trip.
Yeah.
And by the way, we also talked about how, gosh, what if they lose to Washington and, you know.
And it happened.
And beat Orlando. And it happened. Question three, please.
Question three.
The Sixers visit Golden 1 Center tonight. Any chance the Kings win?
No.
Oh, come on.
Okay, there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance. But if you're going to the game tonight expecting a win, you better pull on your britches a little better. What does that even mean?
Philly played yesterday.
They did. They won. They beat the Clippers on the road in a day game. Now they're up here. And, yes, second night of a back-to-back for Philly for sure.
Joel Embiid.
I know
Joel. Some would say that hurts. Some would say that helps.
I would say that. Well, you have the stat coming up in a little bit, how the Kings have a 10-game losing streak to Philly. What was the one they it was Milwaukee. And wasn't that 15?
14 or 15,
so this has to be their longest active streak against them. It'd be kind of cool to break both those streaks. Philly beat them earlier this year soundly without Joel Embiid. Now they come into Sacramento. I think this is the last game of the road trip for Philly. I could be wrong. I know this is the first game back for the Sacramento Kings after an East Coast swing. We will go through this later, okay? Yes, this is the last game of the road trip for the Sixers, a 4-game road trip. I will tell you this, not being negative Nancy either here. I'm going into this game expecting. I'm expecting a loss. That's what would fit for
just
this team.
Based on
this is their first game back.
That's it.
And yeah, first.
So it wouldn't matter if they were playing Charlotte.
Oh,
Detroit
coming up later. I'll you just named, by the way, two teams the Kings have lost at home to on the first game coming back from a road trip this year. Charlotte and Detroit. Both of those were that situation.
Yeah.
And they have played 12 games this year coming home from a road trip. And we've got the record and the opponent, and it's quite interesting. So, yes, of course they can win tonight. I ain't betting on it. Well, and if I was a betting man, I would be betting on it, and it wouldn't be on the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Yeah. You?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, more than just can. I don't know if I would say they will. I don't know. I mean, it's weird to be in this spot. This team is so weird.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me just go to the old bag of tricks here.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, there it is. Bag of tricks. It's a box of tricks.
This is a box.
Yeah.
It's a nice deep box. It's got $250,000 cash in it, Jason. And by the way, Uncle Sam doesn't know anything about this. Are the Kings going to win or lose tonight?
I'm putting it on to win.
Okay.
Forget the point spread.
Forget it. Nope, straight up.
Yeah.
Kings win tonight, that's yours.
It's my bag.
And if that was on the line, $250,000, that's life-changing money. That's where you're going?
Yep.
Okay. Then I would.
We're going to have different lives.
I would bet on against.
Yeah.
And probably partially because even though I would lose $250,000 if the Kings won, at least the Kings would win. I'd be happy about that.
True.
Because in your situation.
I have double loss.
You lose the money and the Kings. There's no bright side.
No beam either.
No $250,000 beam. We will take a break when we come back. The Kings sweep the Magic this year. We've got some post game with Keegan Murray as well. We'll talk a little bit about this team, including the starters really stepping it up because the bench was dookie. We'll do all that. Not Blue Devils. We'll do all that next.
Morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Into the hands of Sabonis. To Davion Mitchell. Ahead to Keegan. Quick launch for three. nailed it. Man, the net barely moved. It was so clean, so pure. Keegan knocking down his third, make that his fourth triple in five attempts. He's now got 16 points. Back to a one-point game. Keegan comes to the left, then back on top, gives to Sabonis. Shakes in each direction, gives to Keegan, launches for three. He's got another one. Keegan Murray playing with five fouls has just hit his fifth three-pointer of the night. He's got 19 points, and the Kings have regained the lead at 96-94.
Now,
he was great.
He was 8-12, 6-7 from beyond the arc, 22 points.
Was his dad boards. In attendance?
Two blocks. Yeah, dad was in attendance. They were showing him on the TV. No turnovers, by the way.
Yeah.
Before we get into Kings and Keegan, just real quick, I wanted to talk about Jonathan Isaac.
Oh my gosh.
25 points, 7 boards, 2 blocks, a steal, 0 turnovers on 10 of 13 in 23 minutes. He had 25 points in 23 minutes on 10 of 13. And by the way, even though the 2 blocks and the steal kind of give the a little bit of the story, that does not begin to tell the story of how much of a blur he is on defense.
Yeah.
And I just want to point out, you know, Jonathan Isaac went to Florida State, yeah, obviously, and was one of my all-time favorite players at Florida State. And it's probably one of the reasons why I'm a little out on FSU NBA players is, you know, there's been so many, but Isaac was unique. Like, that is the guy I thought. And when he was grabbed, I want to say that was the Willie Cauley-Stein draft. I could be wrong. But when he was grabbed and the Kings didn't get him, I was so freaking disappointed. Jason, he's been in the league, weirdly enough. I won't go through it, but would it surprise you at all just at first, before you do the math? Like, Jonathan Isaac's 26.
Wow.
He just turned 26 in October.
Wow.
Jonathan Isaac has been in the league 5 years.
And had 2 major injuries. One, I know he did get hurt against the Kings.
Yes, as a matter of fact. And by the way, I apologize. He's played 5 seasons.
Yeah, it's more like 7.
Probably. Yeah, he missed the 2021 and 21-22 seasons. In the seasons he's played 27 his rookie year, 75, 34, 11, and 49 this year. Jonathan Isaac, you know, we talk all the time about the Brandon Roys of the world, this guy, that guy. Jonathan Isaac should be one of those guys. And by the way, 26, I hope to God, just for sports sake, that he's a 70-game-a-year player for the rest of his career and this narrative will change. But if it doesn't, he should be in every conversation when it comes to guys who could be healthy. Mm-hmm. If they were healthy, how different would things be? He's so good.
Yes,
he's
he is.
So good. And even though I'm a diehard Kings fan and I really wish he'd have taken the night off, I couldn't help watching the game like it was the best of all worlds. Kings won, but I was also so happy to see Jonathan Isaac really showing off what he can do. It's a good story.
Yeah, absolutely. I was happy for him the way he played like that. That was great.
And before, and maybe I'm just being oversensitive here, but just before you get started, I'm also incredibly aware of Jonathan Isaac's, you know, what some of the stuff he says off the court that people may or may not agree with. I don't want to get into any of that. I'm just saying from a sports point of view, very, very proud of him. And that was cool to see. But the Kings sweep the Magic. They go 2-1 on the road trip. Did they sweep them last year? I know they won in Orlando.
They've got a
nice streak.
I think
5 or 6 games, mm-hmm, maybe. We were going over that Friday. That's right. And Jason, hooray, hooray for the starters. Because Malik Monk had a stinkeroonie.
Malik stunk. And I saw some people being clever about it, which, hey, look, Orlando's a team that's rumored to be interested or could be interested in Malik Monk. He did not play very well. I mean, 0. And at this point, we have to treat Malik like Fox and Sabonis. So to win a game when Malik Monk doesn't score would be like Fox or Sabonis not scoring.
Absolutely.
That's impressive to win that game against a playoff-bound, could be a home-seeded playoff team from the East, a top 4, to win in their building where they've been really good. That was impressive.
The Kings bench was 3 of 17. they had four guys play.
Yeah.
And they combined for 7 points.
And what did Isaac himself have?
Isaac by himself. Kings had 7 points off the bench. Jonathan Isaac had 25. Right. 25 in 23 minutes. Let me see here. The Kings were outscored from the bench 49-7. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't seen the stats. I don't have them memorized from every single game this year. I'm going to guess that that is the largest disparity the Kings have been outscored off the bench all season.
Yes, 100%.
I will say this. Look, it's not going to – no one's really going to, you know, make a movie about it. But two blocks and a rebound, and I thought some really, really timely defense for Alex Len in 9 minutes. I don't want to completely trash the bench. You know, Alex Len is actually – I got to find the numbers. I saw somebody post him over the weekend, like – They're looking like in limited appearances, he's actually amongst the league leaders in this, this, and this. I got to find those. But he's actually kind of quietly put together some really good backup minutes this year for the Kings.
Yeah, in the beginning of the year, the Kings were going to JaVale McGee and not playing Alex Len. Now they've kind of settled on Alex Len, and the results are showing it.
31 points on 10 and 22 for De'Aaron Fox, 22 for Keegan Murray, 21, 14, 8, and a steal for Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, just another day.
21-14-8. No
triple-double. What a fraud.
And he will have a chance, we believe, to tie the consecutive double-double record Kevin Love's tonight against Philly. Also, Philly, it's the return of old Budrick.
That's right. Shavano healed.
Yeah.
Be in the building. He got booed pretty violently earlier this year.
I think, I was thinking about this over the weekend, I think that reaction will be as, if not more, pronounced tonight. I think the energy's still there. You don't like it.
I don't. I don't.
I think that it is, I will say this, I think booing Buddy Hield, I just look, take this for what you will. I think it's petty. I think it's a little unfair. I think it's over the top, and I think it's something that really, really, it's a little bit small. I 100% support all of that, and I think people should be very loudly. It's just fun to
think you had all
screw
the answers,
buddy.
In your first statement.
Hey, buddy, screw you, pal. He asked Sacramento to perform a very personal act.
Yes.
On behalf of him, he asked that on camera, and he was really bad late in games with possessions. I mean, buddy fingers, and I think I'm like 94% sure he has a burner on Twitter that everyone's exposed now.
Yeah, it's not much of a burner.
It really isn't. It's either him. Although I kind of am holding, I kind of feel like it might be a family member. Though, but that's a whole different thing.
But then this person kind of knows some things that even family members would know.
Yeah, there's something weird there. That's a whole fun Kings Reddit undercurrent, whatever. Also, right? The return of Bobby Jackson?
Yeah.
Hey, he will get applauded.
Yeah, they'll show him on the big screen.
Yeah, he'll be cool. Your head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, what, Nick Nurse? Uh-huh. And assistants,
they don't do assistants usually.
Oh, they don't?
Do they? I can't remember.
For the home teams.
Yeah.
Well, then let me just say to Moak, who loves it when people tell him to do his job that he's excellent at and has been for a long time, then he should be like, head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, Nick Nurse, assistants, and Bobby Jackson.
You don't get better by everyone saying that you're great.
What?
You don't get better if everyone just tells you that you're great.
Always improve. Always look. I was like, is that like a Bobby Jacksonism or something? Oh, speaking of Bobby Jackson's coming back over the weekend. It was the anniversary. I forgot. I re-Facebooked it and everything. Greatest Facebook post ever. Bobby Jackson, I think 12 years ago now. No more toilet paper. Goodbye, socks. Just the best Facebook post ever. And shows up on Facebook memories every single year. God bless him. We will take a break when we come back. The Kings bounce back with a clutch win in Orlando. We've got Keegan Murray postgame with the G-Man and the Jiffy Lube drive of the game. 1-800-920-9700. 1140, the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. Call now if you can tell us what it was on Saturday. And, of course, you can. You got a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube. Back with all that right here on your home of the King, Sacktown Sports.
Very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
All right, let's get to it. Jiffy Lube Drive, the game. We got peeps. They have answers, we hope. Dave, fine name. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. A three-pointer by Keegan Murray for his sixth three-pointer of the game.
Okay, scale of 1 to 10, because that's really specific. Scale of 1 to 10, Dave, how confident are you?
Very.
Very.
10.
Let's see if he's right.
Comes Fox to the left angle. Gets to the edge of the paint. Spins for the fall away. Jay. Well off target. Sabonis has it. Swings it out to Keegan. Can he do it again? You bet he can. Keegan Murray with his sixth triple is going to be your Drippy Lube Drive of the game. It was a second chance opportunity. Sabonis with a rebound off the missed shot to Keegan from downtown. Be listening to the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross Monday morning at 7:45. Your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube certificate, courtesy of all the Jiffy Lube locations in the greater Sacramento area.
Sounds like Dave listened to both. Congratulations. That 10 was well placed. Of course a Dave's going to call it.
Yeah. Just and good for him because it was a three-pointer, not your typical drive, right?
No. And he also nailed the whole sixth three-pointer of the game. Just a little extra credit. Congratulations. $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, Dave, is yours. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. It's great stuff.
Well done, Dave. Good listening. Active listening.
Also, we're going to get back into the Kings here in Keegan's post game with the G-Man. You and I were talking about a little bit during the break. LSU head women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey made a statement over the weekend. There's a Washington Post article. I think Pat Forty actually originally, I think it was last week, said, I'm hearing something about somebody, and I thought it was Pat, said, I'm hearing something about an article coming out, big article about Kim Mulkey. Anyway, she made a statement. I'm paraphrasing here, but I won't paraphrase the important parts. Just simply like, this guy's been after me for 2 years. I'm not, going to, glorify this. I'm focused on coaching, and I've hired a defamation. The one thing she said that I really focused on, she said, I've hired a defamation attorney. And if there's any falsehoods in there, I am 100% suing this person. Like, this is why people don't trust the media. And Jason, we haven't read the article. Of course, we will. But I really felt like I understand why she would do that. I totally get it. But if I was her PR guy, there's no chance in hell I let her do that for two reasons. And this is where I think ego gets in the way of logic. Number one, well done on giving the best possible commercial you could have for this article. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to read it now. People that didn't care before want to read it now because, oh my God, it's got to be salacious. There's got to be stuff going on. You just probably quintupled the clicks they would have had on this article.
Right.
And by the way, if it's a bombshell article, it'll do fine on its own. But you didn't hurt them is what I'm saying. That's number one. The thing I really think was the big mistake is her saying she's hired a defamation attorney. They're going to sue if there's anything, out of line. Well, you've now put yourself in a position where if we read this article and it is a bombshell and you don't sue, then it's true.
Right.
That's the assumption.
Yeah.
If there's stuff in there, I won't even speculate. God forbid. Oh, you know what? I will speculate. Kim Mulkey likes to smash butterflies with a hammer in the offseason. Oh, something red, right? Well, she doesn't sue over that, and she just denies it. Everybody's going to say, why aren't you suing them? That she's now put herself in a corner where she kind of has to act, or the assumption will be, well, you can say all this stuff, but when it comes to being under the penalty of perjury and actually doing the thing, you're not doing that. So we're all of a sudden now her denials verbally will not matter. She's now taking that chess piece off the table. They're not going to matter except to the most diehard LSU fan or Kim Mulkey fan. It's not going to matter. Now all of a sudden it's okay. Yeah, you can say you deny it all you want, Kim. We're going to need to see the lawsuit filed. So this is a coming drama. stay tuned for. In the meantime, there's a lot of drama Saturday in Orlando. Early game for us. Keegan Murray stepped up quite a bit. If only we had maybe his thoughts after the game.
We do.
If only we had his thoughts after the game shared with a legend of the sport and in the play-by-play world.
Well, you're in luck.
What? G-Man, Keegan, right now.
I think I see Keegan coming down that way.
He's hiding behind someone.
He has got the headset in hand, and number 13 slips on the headset. Keegan, it's G-Man. You hear us okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Well, here's more drama for the Sacramento Kings. How desperately do you feel this club needed this after the disappointment in Washington?
It was a big win for us just to be able to come back from that, regroup as a team, just compete the way we did. I felt like that was huge for our morale going into the end of the year.
This was a hard game to kind of get a grip on because neither team could get a stranglehold. Each team had separation of 8 or 9 points but couldn't sustain it. Did it feel weird at all on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games where it's always close, always back and forth. Those are the games that I feel like as a basketball player you enjoy the most. So it was a good win for us.
I love the fact that you were able to stay in the game and stay on target with your fifth foul. What kind of a challenge is that late in the ball game?
It's difficult just because defensively I like to be aggressive. Jordy said, we're going to put you in. We don't care about your fouls. Just be smart. And he trusts me, so kudos to him.
Yes, and kudos to you for tonight knocking on 8 of 12 shots and knocking down 6 of 7 from three-point range. And I know that's been a bit of a struggle of late. What does that do for one's confidence?
It helps, but I feel like I'm a guy that once I see a couple go in, I can get hot real quick, or if I make one, I can rattle off 3-4 more. So I just try to stick with it, and I know it's a long season, so just keep my head high.
You mentioned a long season. You're now in your second year. What have you learned over the course of the first year plus that's helping you now on a daily basis in this tough league?
Not everything's going to be perfect. I strive for perfection every day. I want everything to be perfect. But at the end of the day, you're going to go through highs and you're going to go through lows. So just try and stick with it as best as I can. And I feel like I fought through that this year really well.
Well, it's obviously a significant win for the Kings. Coach likes to break them down into 5-game sets. This was a 2-2 coming into this one, and so you win the 5-game set. That's got to feel good. I've been asking guys lately when we had a chance to talk to them, are you a scoreboard watcher?
In terms of the score, yeah. I feel like I just try and know what the game is at any point in time. So
I need to clarify, I'm talking in terms of other teams in this tight Western Conference battle.
Oh yeah. We have a thing in our locker room every day, so we know what position we're in. We have to fight every single day, in practice, on the court, off the court, things like that. So you never know when the tide can change.
All right. Well, the plane ride's going to be a long one, but it's going to be a lot better than getting out of here with an L. That's 6 straight wins against Orlando. Congratulations. Thank you for your time once again.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
He is a scoreboard watcher.
Well, and after the win, technically for the moment, they moved into 6th. Uh-huh. But then San Antonio didn't help with the Phoenix routing them. But still, sets up for a really big week ahead.
One random game you may have noticed yesterday, the Lakers beat the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
150 to 145, second highest scoring game, I think, of the year. Kings and Clippers fans won a game, whatever, dude. 36 for Siakam, 12, 6, and 10 on 5 of 13 for Tyrese Halliburton. 36 for Anthony Davis, who is not 0-9 versus the Pacers. But this was quite interesting. Just something to point out. The LA Lakers attempted 43 free throws last night. The Pacers attempted 16 free throws last night. Jason, remember last year when we talked about the Lakers and the fact that they attempted 387 free throws last year, second place was the Miami Heat with 184. Kings were third, by the way, 179. 387 to 184. I want you to keep that in mind. 387 to 184 last year. The Lakers have attempted. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say that can't.
387 more free throw attempts than their opponents. I apologize. 387 more than their opponents last year. 181 or whatever it was, second place the Heat. This year, by the way, we still have some games left.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers have attempted 420 more free throws than their opponents. Second place, the Milwaukee Bucks at 222. Wow. This is going to be the second year that they have probably doubled, if not more, whoever's in second.
Full performance.
By the way, that didn't count playoffs as we go to break. Last year against the Grizzlies, the Lakers had 130 to 115 free throw attempts. That's a 6.5% advantage. Against the Warriors, 160 to 80. Mm-hmm. That's a 33% advantage. And then 107 to 81 to the Nuggets last year. That's a 14% advantage. I mean, they must drive the basket a lot.
All the time.
All the time, yeah. Forever and ever. We'll take a break when we come back. Hey, it's Bobby Brackett.
Yeah.
It's Bobby Brackett's time. Bobby Gerald will join us from HoopObsession.com. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament next.